Been preaching about heaven for the last several weeks. Been preaching about the first Sunday. What about heaven? Then last Sunday, won't it be wonderful there? And today, living with heaven in mind. Do you really live with heaven in mind? How often do you think about heaven? When you sang that song, Larry, it reminded me years ago in Tennessee, our music director sang that song quite often, and it meant a lot to me to hear it then. It means a lot for me to hear it now. He's gone on to heaven. Well, I'm going soon, amen. I'm already reserved a reservation. Like old Brother D used to say, I'm just waiting for a ride. Amen. But do you live with heaven in mind? You should. Look with me to what Peter writes about it in 2 Peter chapter 3, second epistle of the Apostle Peter, chapter number 3, 2 Peter 3. I'm going to read verses 10 through verse number 14. And preach about living with heaven in mind. I believe Peter did, and he writes as the Holy Spirit of God moved on him. And listen to what he says, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, hallelujah, listen to this. Nevertheless, we, who's he talking about? God's children. Nevertheless, we, he says, according to his promise. Whose promise? God's promise. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. It sounds to me like Peter saying, you need to live with heaven in mind. Amen? If you expect a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem and a new life, it ought to affect how we live here. Amen? Should. Here are some things. I hope you'll make yourself some notes. These are things too good for you to pass up. We live in three dimensions of time. God purposed it. God planned it that way. We live in time past. We live in time present. And we look forward to living in time future. That's the three dimensions of time that mankind from the beginning to the end have and will live in. Now think about it. Past time. Past time is Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. That is God's plan. That is God's purpose for his creation and for mankind before sin entered and the curse of sin was brought upon this world. That's time past. And then we're living today. We're living in the middle time, in the present. The present time begins in Genesis chapter 3, and it goes all the way through the Revelation chapter 20. That's the time that God plans and purposes redemption for the very creatures he's created, mankind in general, to prepare us for what's going to be in the future. We're living in the present time. We're going to continue to live in the present time until Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory and takes us home to live with him forever. But then, praise God, there's a future time. That's a time when Jesus comes and takes us home to live with him forever. Listen, We live in the middle time, looking forward to the future time that every one of us is going to experience in one way or the other. Amen? Now, since we look forward to what Peter said, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new life, then we ought to be preparing for, looking forward to, living with that heaven in our minds. And it should make some great changes in our lives. Beloved, there's no way any of us could ever realize. We cannot realize God's great plan and God's great purposes for us in the future on the other side because we've never realized that yet. We haven't been there yet, but praise God, we're going to be there one day if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, it's to this time that I want to center our attention on today. Many things could be said about the future time, about heaven, the new heavens, the new earth, and all these wonderful things that God has planned for us. But I want to center our attention pretty much on living with heaven in mind. Now, again, I don't know how much you think about heaven. I will say this to we who are getting kind of mature, and maybe more than mature, it forces you to think about heaven. Because a lot of us here today have lived the greater majority of our physical lives down here. And I'm marching at a real fast pace toward that future time. So it forces us to think about heaven. When you start thinking about heaven, there's some wonderful changes that takes place in your life. If you've thought about heaven, you're thinking about heaven, you're going to realize what I'm going to share here this morning. There's some wonderful changes that takes place in your life. Now listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 16. Go over there and read that just a moment with me. Psalm 139, verse 16. Some wonderful things God has in store for us. Psalm 139, verse 16. He said, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Before you were ever born, God had a plan for your life, God had a purpose for your life, and God has put that plan and purpose in place for you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He has some wonderful things planned in the past, before you were ever born, in the present, while you live, and hallelujah, in the future, God has some wonderful things, things that are too wonderful for us to even imagine that God has in store for us. And listen, we're still in this world for a reason. If God was through with you, you wouldn't be here. If I was finished up my work for the Lord, He'd take me home. But I'm here for a reason. The church is here for a reason. It's to prepare for heaven. It's to prepare others. We want all people to accept the reservation for salvation that the Lord has made in Jesus Christ. And that's why we're still here. We've got to learn, beloved, afresh and anew. I believe we have forgotten. We have failed somewhere along the way. If you're going to be used of God for His plan and purpose in your life, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to put heaven in plain view, put it on the very front focus of your life, because that's where we're all headed as Christians at a fast pace. You know, there's only 2 days you ought to be concerned about. 2 days in your life you ought to be concerned about. You know what those 2 days are? It's this day and that day. Now let me explain what I mean. This day is a day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? As far as you know, this day is the only day that you're going to live in this world. You have lived past yesterday. It's never coming back. You're not guaranteed you're going to be here tomorrow. So this day is the only day that you have as far as you know. So it's so important then that every day that we live, We ought to try to live pleasing to our Lord, thinking about that day. What is that day? That's a day the Lord's going to come. He could come for us individually and take us home to be with Him in heaven, or He could come in the clouds of glory and take all His church home in a twinkling of an eye. But you ought to live your life with that day in mind, with heaven in mind. Well, heavenly mindedness always leads to earthly usefulness and earthly fruitfulness, doesn't it? The more we think about heaven, the better we'll serve God while we're here. The more we'll do for Him. The more we'll please Him and live for Him. Now listen, I said earlier, there's many things we could say about thinking about heaven, living with heaven in mind. I want to center on three things. Three great changes that'll take place in your life and mine if you begin today. If you've not done it before, make a promise to God you'll do it today to begin to live with heaven in mind. And if you do, three things will happen in your life. First of all, you'll start living with a more pure, holy life. Listen to Peter's writings again. I'm not going to read them all, just remember what he said. If you start living with heaven in mind, it'll give you a greater desire in your life to live for the Lord Jesus, a pure life, a holy life, a good life, a spiritual life while you're down here. If you recall what Peter said, all these great cataclysmic things, these events that are going to take place, that's going to come in the future, when the heavens that we know today will burn up, the earth's going to melt with fervent heat, God's not going to remodel this earth, He's going to send this one away in fire. He's going to recreate a new heavens and a new earth. Now, since we know these great cataclysmic things are going to take place, and we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, Peter said, there's no true righteousness dwelling here on this earth. That's why God's going to get rid of this one and recreate a new one. And we're going to live in the new heavens and the new earth. So then because these things are going to come to pass, Peter says, it ought to do something in your life. It ought to make a difference in your life. It ought to change the way you live. Listen, has it changed the way you live? Since you know these things are going to happen, they could happen today. We could leave this world today. Has it made a change in your life? If it hasn't, would you promise God and allow God to make it happen in your life today? The Apostle John kind of reaffirms what Peter had said. In 1 John 3:3, John said, every man, every Christian who hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What did the Lord Jesus say? Be ye holy, for I am holy, thus saith the Lord. John said, if you got that hope in you that you're going to die and go to heaven or be taken out of this world and go to heaven, if you're going to realize the new heavens and the new earth and new Jerusalem and a new life, it ought to make a difference in your life down here. If it hasn't made a difference in your life down here, you might want to back up and see if you got anything to look forward to. Listen, what a great event. Let me kind of give it to you as maybe a crude example, but nonetheless an example. Let's just suppose you got a phone call, and it was from the White House. And someone said, President Trump wants to come to your house and have a dinner meal with you. And he gives you a date and a time in advance. What would you do? How would you respond to that? A visit from the president? He's coming to my house to have a dinner meal at my home? Man, I got to get busy. I got some house cleaning I got to do. I'd be ashamed for my president to come to my house, and you would be too, to come in the front door of your house and find dirty dishes in the sink, dirty clothes lying in the floor, papers strewn everywhere, looked like a garbage dump. You'd be ashamed, would you not, for the president of this United States to come into your home and find you in that condition, wouldn't you? You'd do cleaning like you'd never done before. If you had any fine china, you'd polish it up. You'd clean up everything you could as best you could, preparing for a visit from the president. Don't say you wouldn't. I know you would. Every one of us would. So that when he comes, I wouldn't have to be ashamed of what I prepared for his coming. Listen to me, beloved. There's a lot greater one coming than the president. Peter said, he's coming. Did you hear me? Our Lord is coming. I don't know just when, but I know He is. I know He's coming for me. He's coming to my personal house, this old tabernacle of clay that I live in, the real me and the real you. And since I know He's coming, I'm expecting His coming. He's already told me He's coming. Then I need to do what you might do if our president was coming. I need to clean up this old vessel as best I can and live as holy a life as I can, as pure a life as I can. And listen, holiness is almost forgotten today in the local church. You start preaching about people being holy, people think you're some kind of fanatic somewhere. Listen, Jesus said, be holy. We better wake up, church. A lot of these old things we're doing and the way we're living and what we're involved in better go be burned up now. Because the King's coming. The Lord's coming. It ought to change the way I live. I ought to start living a more pure life since I know He's coming. Can I get a witness? He's coming. Well, you better start preparing, church. If you haven't done it, you better do it today. You may not have tomorrow, and you certainly don't have yesterday. It'll never come back. Tomorrow's never here. So the time to prepare is to do it today. Repent of our sins. Confess our sins. Turn from our sins and yield our lives afresh to the Lord and start living a life holy and pure. Look what Peter said in verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, he said, seeing that you look for such things, he said, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's the first change it'll make in your life. If you start living with eternity and living with heaven in mind. I'm talking about my home, folks. I'm talking about the place I'm going to spend eternity. Things too wonderful for us to even imagine. It's made a change in my life. I'm not perfect, neither are you. But I've got a perfect example to follow. I'm striving with the help of the Holy Spirit of God to live a more pure life, a holy life, a spotless life, a blameless life, so that when He comes, I won't have to be ashamed. Listen, I'll never be ashamed of His coming. It'll be me that I'll be ashamed of. And it'll be you that you're ashamed of if you don't live a good, pure, holy life. Amen? Amen. The old timers had it right, Jim. They preached about holy living. Holy living has just about passed off the scene in the last 20, 30, 40 years. But I'm going to tell you something. It hadn't passed off the scene in God's eyes. He's still looking for a holy people. People who love Him and live like they love Him. If you live with heaven in mind, you will start living a purer life. But look at something else I think will change us if you start living with heaven in mind. I think you're going to start loving people more positively than you do. If you're living with heaven in mind, it's going to lead us to love one another positively. And we'll start exhibiting that in our day-by-day experiences of life. We'll have a lot better attitudes many times than what we have today. There's so many things today told us about heaven in the Bible. And these things ought not to be held back from us, beloved. We need to hear about these things and hear what the Bible says about them so we can prepare for Jesus to come for us in the clouds of glory. You'll start loving people more positively if you start living with heaven in mind. So many unspeakable things are awaiting us on the other side. You'll start realizing more and more what Romans 8:18 says. Paul says, "For I reckon." That's a accounting term, by the way. Paul done some accounting when he said this. He put the things down here, and he put the things he could imagine that's over there for us. And Paul said, "For I reckon," I've tallied them up, and here's the total, "For I reckon that the things of this present time are not to even be compared to the glory that awaits us on the other side." Beloved, listen, I can't imagine. I can't put it in words if I even knew it. If you start living with heaven in mind, you're going to start loving people more positively than we do. It would change us. Turn to Psalm 48 just a moment. Look at verse 1 and 2. Psalm 48 and verse 1 and 2. Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 48, 1 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King." Now you think about it. Now you think about it. If you start living with heaven in mind, thinking about the city of the north, the city of the great King, our God, and New Jerusalem, I promise you it'll make a difference in your life, the way you live and the way you love other people. It will make a difference. Honestly, our lives here are almost lived like a roller coaster, aren't they? All kinds of new pressures every day, all kinds of new worries every day, all kinds of new problems. We're up one day and down the next, in one day and out the next. On the mountaintop one day and lower than Jonah the next day. Listen. When you start living with heaven in mind, you'll start thinking about the glory that awaits us on the other side. We're living in a chaotic world today. We're living in a world of death and decay, are we not? We live a hard life here sometimes, but when you start living with heaven in mind, you can rise above all these things of this present time and look forward to the glory that awaits us on the other side. Just the thought, to me, Mount Zion, hallelujah, Mount Zion, on the sides of the north. Somebody asked me the other week, where'd God come from? All the Bible says is God came from the north. And my Bible tells me His city is to the north. It's a great city of our God. It's New Jerusalem. It's heaven to me. And I'm thinking about going over there soon. Listen, it changes the way I love people. It changes the way I live before people and before God. The thoughts. Put your mind to thinking about the sights of the great city to the far north, the city of our God. That doesn't change the way you love and the way you live. You might want to go back to Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But there's another thing, another change that will take place in our lives. If you start living with heaven in mind, you'll start living a more pure life. You'll start loving people more positively. But look at something else. We'll start laboring for the Lord more purposefully. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'm not going to read the whole account. You read it for yourself sometime. I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses. Matthew 24. Look at verse 46. 47. This is a great chapter where Jesus himself talks about the great events prior to his coming again, and the events that's going to take place in the world. Then he ends up this passage with the parable of the faithful servant. I just want to summarize these last two verses here. You go back and read the whole chapter. It'll bless your heart if you will. Matthew 24, look at verse 46. He says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." Now listen, think about it. You start living with heaven on your mind, you're going to live with a better purpose of laboring for the Lord Jesus while you're here and while you're in his sight here. Jesus outlines this whole chapter in chapter 24. Then he concludes with the good things that awaits the servant, the faithful servant, when the Lord comes and finds this servant faithful about his business. Then he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of your Lord." And the Bible said he's going to make him ruler, listen, over part of his goods. No, it didn't say that. Over most of his goods. No. He said, "I'm going to make him ruler over all my goods." Now you think about it. What is it that God has in heaven? Everything anybody ever need and more. And when I get to heaven, he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of your Lord." And here you go. Rule. Now think about it. Everybody's always wanting to rule something down here. Tell somebody what to do. Be Lord over somebody down here. Listen, if you want to do that, plan to go to heaven. Amen. Plan to go to heaven. God will make you rule over all his goods. And I promise you there won't be any controversy over there. It should make us work more diligently while we're down here about his business, not yours, not even mine, not even the business of the church. Everything the church does, beloved, listen to me, everything we do ought to be done with an evangelistic nature in mind. Don't you want all those you can get in contact with to go to heaven with us? I do. I certainly do. I can't imagine, couldn't describe if he told me the great things are in store for the good and faithful servant. We don't just skip through life like we don't even know heaven's out there. Do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, God's already told you what to do. You can't just live your life like you want to if you're saved. Well, you can, but you're going to pay for it. Listen. Since I know heaven's just right out there, and he can come any moment, and I'm ready to go, I want to live my life with the purpose of winning all I can to him so that I want to take somebody to heaven with me, don't you? So all that we do as a church ought to be evangelistic. So you know what? You've heard the old saying, "Well, you can be so heavenly minded, you know earthly good." I've heard that too. Here's what I would say. Let us begin to be so heavenly minded that we will be some earthly good. Amen? Amen. Remember this. A long time ago, many years ago, I heard Stephen Olford quote this portion of this little psalm, a little song. And it stuck in my heart so that I've never forgot it. Maybe you've heard it. If you hadn't listened to it, it's real short, but it's right to the point. Here's what it says. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for God will last. Did you hear me? Yes. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for God will last. So listen, beloved, let's start living with heaven in mind. And if we do as a church or if we do as an individual, I promise you it'll change us. We'll start living more purely. We'll start loving more politely. And we'll start laboring for the Lord more purposefully. Now listen, I want to close with this. Somebody here needs to start doing that today. You know who you are. I'm not trying to point anybody out. I'm just saying what the Holy Spirit gives me to say. Somebody here today needs to come to this altar and commit your life to the Lord to start living for Him purely. Maybe there's some things in your life you need to put away and get rid of, so when He comes, you'll be ready for Him better than the president. Maybe you've had ugly attitudes toward other people and you've not been as loving as you need to be. You ought to come to this altar and get it made right before you go out the doors of this worship center. Maybe you've never done anything for the Lord and God's put it on your heart. He wants you to serve Him and labor for Him. You ought to come to this altar today and make it right. Start living with heaven in mind. Listen, you can't live with heaven in mind if you don't know Jesus. Because heaven's not going to be your home. I want you to go with me. I know I'm going. I want you to go with me. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to come receive Him. Not for me. Not even for the church. Come for yourself. So you can start living more purely. Loving more politely and positively. And laboring more purposefully for the Lord. You know the need in your life. The Holy Spirit of God's already spoken to you. I know He has. It's up to you now to respond. Let me ask you one thing in closing. If you lived your life just like you're living it right now, and you didn't change one thing in your life beyond what you're doing right now, would heaven be your home? Could you look forward to the coming of the Lord? Or would you be ashamed of how you lived, how you're living, what you've done? That's a serious soul-searching question. You must answer it today as we pray. Brother Larry, come secure our invitation while we pray. Lord Jesus, first of all, thank You for the provision You've made for the redemption of our souls and for the great promise You've made in the future of the great restoration that You're going to make one day in heaven for us. And Lord Jesus, I pray today for anyone who hears the sound of our voice, they've never come to Calvary, they'll come and bow today. And Lord, if they have, and they've not kept the commitments that they made to the Lord, they may repent of them and ask forgiveness today and start living again the way we know You'd be pleased with. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help our church to always have in mind, help our lives to always have in mind that everything we do down here, we do with heaven in mind. So in this invitation, dear Lord Jesus, today, You work to Your honor, glory, and praise, and we look forward, as Peter says, to that day. That day. That day. Lord, it could be today. And I would say like John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Your blessed name I pray. Amen.